I'm Scott Rowan. I'm the interim director of adult ministries here at Lakes. And it's my pleasure to be here today to share with you a message. And Pastor Jason is out of town, and so he asked me to continue in this series on the Sermon on the Mount. And so next up is this very familiar passage about judging. And I'm really glad that I have this assignment today, because if this sermon's a dud, you guys can't judge me. So that gives me a lot of comfort. Father in heaven, now as we open your word, I pray that you would use it mightily in our lives to draw us to you, that you might make us more like Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart might be acceptable to you, you who are our God and our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's very unusual for a person to learn a lesson by being told. Dad can instruct and teach his child how to ride a bike or to go ice fishing or water ski, but not until the child actually does it will he learn the lesson. It's equally true that most of the time we won't learn not to do something by being told. Maybe you've seen signs about danger, thin ice. And you know as well as I do that whenever there's a sign that says danger, it immediately evokes the impulse for us to do it anyway and just see what happens. And then we fall through the ice and have a cold bath in a freezing lake. Today, Jesus tells us. He teaches us. He warns us of the danger, judgment ahead. Now, most of us won't learn this lesson until we try it, until we've taken a cold bath or two. But I suggest that eventually we will learn the lesson, because eventually we will get wet. I know I've certainly had times in my life where I got wet, and I continue to get wet in my life. And so what we're going to do today is examine what Jesus said to us and what Jesus told us, and pray that we might be delivered from getting wet, but to realize that there probably will be some times in our lives where we do. So let's see what Jesus says to us. Our outline is our message is found in Matthew 7, verses 1 through 6. Jesus writes, or says in the Sermon on the Mount, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you." This is the word of the Lord. I'm so grateful for it. This passage outlines three different environments for judging. First, verses 1 and 2, don't judge individually. Don't fall into the trap as an individual of judging. It's a message to us as individuals. Then verses 3 to 5, he says, don't fall into the trap of judging each other in the community of Christ. And he has some things to say to us as we fellowship one with another. And then in verse 6, he says, don't fall into the trap of judging when you engage culture, because there are dangers in that as well. So that's the outline that we're going to address today. And I think the whole thing tells us, don't judge. Don't fall into the trap of being judgmental, because it's dangerous to be judgmental. What does that mean, be judgmental? Well, the attitude that Jesus forbids in this passage includes climbing the stairs of superiority and looking down on others from that elevated state. It means being derogatory of someone's looks, maybe a man's beard or a woman's makeup job, or their body shape, or their intelligence, or their entertainment preferences, or their career, or their family background, or their lifestyle, spending choices. Showing disgust at someone living what we might call an alternative lifestyle. I remember I was with my son once, and I let out kind of a grunt when I saw something that I didn't really think was appropriate. And he said, Dad, he says, why are you surprised? Don't judge him. Try to find a way to share the gospel with him. I just fell through the ice. See, it's so easy for us to do that. Being judgmental could simply be thinking a little less of someone because they don't share similarities with you. Or to put it very pointedly, because they don't remind you of you. It's generally viewing yourself as being better than they are. This can be so subtle. Not long ago, Faye and I were driving home from church, and I made a comment to her. I said, you know, Jason's sermon was really good. But I've got one little thing, you know. I think it would have been so much better if he'd have said it this way. And I was expecting her to say back to me, oh, honey, you're so insightful. That would have been just great. That's not what she said. Here's what she said. Why don't you write the sermon and give it to Jason and just let him read it? I fell through the ice. Oh, it's so easy to fall into that, isn't it, for us? In all three of the divisions of our text, Jesus tells us it's dangerous to fall into being judgmental. So let's look at them. I think there are three specific warnings. First one is depicted by this crazy picture. Why would I put a picture like that on the projection? Well, it's a picture of Vanilla Goon, and he's attacking the judge who is on the bench. And the reason I share this picture is because I want to suggest to you that in the first two verses of this passage where Jesus says, don't judge lest you be judged, what he's really saying is, don't take God's place on the judgment bench. It's dangerous to be judgmental in general because we are taking God's role as the judge. In fact, we are attacking God, and we're attempting to remove him from the bench and set us up on the bench instead. Look at the verses. Verse 1, judge not lest you be judged. My question is, by whom? Verse 2, the measure that you judge will be the measure you are judged. Again, judged by whom? Well, some will say, well, we'll be judged by the people we judge. We judge others, they'll judge us. Kind of like the reverse golden rule. Well, the gospel reminds us that it is God's role to judge. And we are not to judge, and we are not to act like God. I suggest you judge not, because God will judge you for judging, because you're taking his place. He rightfully belongs on the bench. Remember Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3? The command was, do not eat the forbidden fruit, because when you do, you will become like God. Well, Eve thought about that, and she said, you know, I don't like God telling me what to do. I'd like to know how to make the rules. I'd like to be the one that decides what's right and wrong. So I think I can do it better than God. So she ate the forbidden fruit so she could know right and wrong, and then she could make the own rules. And we all know what happened, don't we? You see, that's what happens when we fall into judgmentalism. We are judging, and we're taking God's role as judge. And when we do that, God says, that's the measure that I'm going to judge you. We are bringing God's judgment on ourselves when we are judgmental. Listen to a great article by a scholar named Eric Bargerhoff. Here's what he says. Put simply, self-righteousness, being judgmental, is the art of always being most bothered by somebody else's sin. It's pursuing a PhD in the faults of others while being content with a GED level grasp of your own. To the degree you are aware and grieved by your own faults, you'll extend charity toward others. To the degree you're not, you won't. Most chillingly, and this is the punchline, Jesus says that with the measure you extend charity or condemnation to others, the judge of heaven will dole it out to you. Judged by whom? I suggest judged by God. Now you might want to say, wait a minute, I'm a Christian. God has poured all the judgment that I deserve onto Jesus, right? Well, I would suggest to you that even though we are justified by grace through faith, we as Christians are nonetheless still subject to God's disciplinary judgment. Remember when David made his sin with Bathsheba and all the horrible things that happened? Listen to verse 32, verses 3 and 4. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all the day. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up by the heat of summer. God was experiencing God's disciplinary judgment. We as Christians are subject to that. Now listen to what Paul tells us about the last judgment in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. He says this, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. You see, if we fall into sin, which being judgmental is, because we're taking God's role as the judge, we'll still get to heaven, but we'll smell like smoke. And it's something we have to take very seriously. Because secondly, if we take on God's role as judge, we're not listening to God speak to us about our sin. We're so focused on everybody else's behavior, God might be trying to get through to us about our behavior, and we won't be listening. Because we're so consumed about being judgmental to others. The Bible is cold and without power when we are judging others. Our prayers seem to hit an iron ceiling when we are judging others. And we walk along in life thinking everything is okay, and God's trying to say, you're headed for some thin ice here. You're about ready to fall through the ice. And we don't hear him, and then we fall through the thin ice. So let's be careful about being judgmental. How do we do that? Well, there are three suggestions that Eric Bargerhoff tells us, or two. First, ask yourself three questions. Do you take pride in your strong opinions? Because, of course, you're right. And you're more right than others. Two, do you always feel the need to share your opinions? Well, of course I do, because I've got an insight that nobody else has, and so I've climbed those stairs, and I can tell everybody else who doesn't know anything how they can be knowing about everything like I am. Judgmentalism. Three, do you generally assume you have all the facts? We never have all the facts. Or do you assume that you have the better facts? Well, better according to who? Well, of course, me. I've got the better facts on this theological issue. I've got the better facts on this political issue. Is that maybe being judgmental on people who think differently than you do? So what do we do? Secondly, be quicker to encourage than to criticize. So here's what we do. When we go home today, make a list of every person you criticized last week, and then make a list of everybody you encouraged and lifted up last week, and look at which list is longer. And if you find that there is maybe some crack in your judgmental armor, we need to do business with God, because he's on the bench, not us. Well, now Jesus moves into our relationship with other people in the church. I love this picture. Jason gave it to me. Me on my way to get the speck out of somebody else's eye. I love that. I love that. There's a lot of problems that are going to happen with this guy in this car. We won't go into there, but listen to this. Now, before I give you this second point, I need to tell you that I was not very good with our projection team this week, and I gave them an outline of this passage that is almost impossible to project, and so I didn't do them any favors. And so here's what I asked them to write. Way too long of a sentence, but it's true. It's dangerous to be judgmental in Christian relationships because even though we might attempt to help our brother or sister in Christ, which is what we're supposed to do, we might do more harm than good. That's way too long for a main point. So if you're taking notes, just write this. It's dangerous to be judgmental in Christian relationships because we might do more harm than good. That would have been a lot better. My bad. Sorry, projection team. Okay, notice how verses 3 to 5 set the context of relationships within the body of Christ. Brothers, brethren, Christians within the church, mentioned three times in these verses. So we know that Jesus is addressing those in the Christian community. And notice that in that context, these verses instruct us that there are times when it is appropriate to make moral judgments. There are specks in brothers in our brethren's eye. And they might have a speck. It might only be a speck, but it still hurts. When I was growing up, I was prone to having things get in my eye. I like to mess around in my dad's wood shop, and I'd invariably get sawdust in my eye. Well, he'd come home from work, and I'd say, "Dad, I got sawdust in my eye again." He'd say, "Okay, come here." And he'd take his handkerchief out of his pocket, and he'd put me on his lap and put me underneath the lamp, and he'd wet the handkerchief so it was nice and pointy, and then he'd look down in my eye, and he would pluck that sawdust out of my eye. Such a relief. I was so glad that he plucked that sawdust out of my eye. You see, it's important for us sometimes to recognize that there are things people are doing that hurt. things that are harmful. And it might be helpful to help them get that out of their lives. Later in the chapter, Jesus exhorts us to be discerning as we fellowship in the church. In verse 16, beware of false prophets. Beware of wolves who wear sheep costumes. You will recognize them by their fruits. Examine the fruit. That sounds to me like making moral judgments. But the point of this passage is when we take these moral judgments and we address them in a judgmental attitude against our brothers and sisters, that's dangerous. Jesus' basic point is simple. Make theological and ethical judgment, just not from some balcony of superiority. J.C. Ryle, the theologian, says this, "When our Lord means to condemn is a fault-finding spirit, a readiness to blame others for trifling offenses or matters of indifference, a habit of passing rash and hasty judgments, a disposition to magnify the errors and infirmities of our neighbors and make the worst of them." Jesus warns us, beware of the tree trunk of being judgmental. Notice the extreme contrast here. There's a speck, sure it hurts, but then you're coming to that speck with a log, a tree trunk. The implication is that log is a more serious issue than the speck. And even though the speck hurts, being the object of someone's judgment hurts worse. Hurts worse. Here's the danger. Jesus is warning us that if we are attempting to help someone while being judgmental of them, we can maybe do more harm than good. Too often, hurt, pain are in the church as a result of judgmental people looking down on you. How wonderful they are by telling others that they are not wonderful. That's a judgmental spirit, and that hurts. And that harms the body, and it does more harm than good to do it that way. Take the log out of your own eye, Jesus says. Get rid of being judgmental. So, how do we speak to our brothers and sisters without being judgmental? I have two suggestions for you. Number one, approach our brothers and sisters as equals. Notice 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. This is Peter. "I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder." Now, wait a minute. This is Peter. This is mighty Peter instructing the elders in the church as an equal. There's no attitude of superiority here. And even though he's the one to whom Jesus gave the keys of the church, the first one to give him the privilege of preaching the gospel to the Jews, the first one to preach the gospel to the Gentiles and Simon in Simon the Tanner's house, a fellow elder, and he exhorted them. So if you see something in someone else's life and you're concerned that it might hurt them, go to them as equals. You know, there have been things in my life that I haven't really seen, and maybe we can talk about this or talk about that. And we're both in the same boat here. Let's just talk brother to brother, sister to sister. Second, approach our brothers and sisters gently, with the goal being their spiritual growth. Listen to what Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3 says. "Brothers, if any of you is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual..." Now, isn't that interesting? You who are spiritual, non-judgmental, should restore... Ooh, isn't that interesting? We are to come and restore, not beat them down, but to restore them in a spirit of gentleness. Now, that's really interesting. and a spirit of gentleness. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, that sounds to me like being judgmental, doesn't it? When he is nothing, well, when we put ourselves in God's role and treat other people like we're superior, what does God look on us and say? You don't have the right to speak to anybody about anything. He deceives himself. You see, we get so focused on the speck that we could do more harm than good to a person who really does have something dangerous in their lives. So first, it's dangerous to be judgmental in general because we are taking God's role as the judge and we are bringing God's judgment on ourselves. Secondly, it's dangerous to be judgmental in Christian relationships because we might do more harm than good. And then Jesus talks to us about being judgmental in our culture. And I love this picture that we have here. Here's what happens when a person is judgmental in the culture. It is dangerous to be judgmental as we engage culture because culture will turn on us and then the gospel will be veiled. That's what verse 6 tells us. Let's discuss the terms in this verse. Jesus uses these terms, dogs and pigs. Dogs and pigs. Now, Jesus is not calling people names here. He is not building a derogatory profile on those who are not his followers. He isn't into character assassination in order to affirm and further his own agenda. Jesus does not do stuff like that. The term dogs and pigs refer to wild and vicious animals that are capable of savage action against a person. Usually, they live in packs or they live in herds and they wreak havoc everywhere they go. Jesus is using this metaphor, dogs and pigs, not to compare them to the character of a person. Rather, I would suggest that he is making a true observation of the behavior of a pack of dogs and a herd of pigs. They attack anything and everyone who stands in the way of satisfying their impulses, and they tear them apart. That's what Jesus is telling us here. Now, notice the metaphor here. Things that are holy, things that are pearls. I suggest that this is a subscription of the precious gospel message, a priceless message that governs our lifestyle. In other passages of the gospel, Jesus talks about the pearl of great price. He talks about the treasure that's more valuable than anything. And he says, make it your effort to grab these things and to hold them with great value in your life. These terms describe the message of the cross and the resurrection, the most valuable message ever given. It's the message of God's grace, priceless in value. Here's the warning from Jesus. It is dangerous to use this priceless gospel to suggest that we are superior to others in the culture, to let people know that we embrace the gospel, and then we look down on those who don't. Of course, we never do that. This is dangerous because when people in our culture notice anything in our lives that doesn't match up to our testimony, and they certainly will because we are not perfect, they'll find something. And if we're saying, well, I'm a Christian and you're not, and we're judgmental against them, and then they find out that we've got a fatal flaw, guess what they'll do? They will turn on us like a pack of wild dogs, like a herd of wild pigs, and they'll tear us apart. And Jesus tells us when they do, They shout at us, and they're not listening to the gospel. You see, that's the biggest mistake that we as Christians make. The real danger is that when we are judgmental in our culture, people hear the judgment and they never hear the truth that will save them. Jesus said, don't do that. Don't be judgmental in our culture. Instead, what do? Well, listen to how Jesus engaged his culture, which in many ways is the same as ours. John chapter 3, verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world in order that the world might be saved through him. One day Jesus will come back as the judge, but that's not how he came the first time. The first time he came to serve. The first time he came to love. Mark chapter 10 summarizes how he came the first time. Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Brothers and sisters, our message as we engage the culture is to serve them, to love them, and to invite them to come to Jesus, who will not judge them, but who will love them and who will save them. That's our invitation. We invite them to the adventure of following a Savior who was a homeless person, a king who willingly experienced injustice and betrayal and suffering, a servant who gave of himself to serve and to save us from sin. I'm really impressed with the ministry of the Salvation Army. All they do is feed the hungry. All they do is house the homeless. All they do is come to people in the midst of disaster and care for them and love them. I don't think I've ever heard anyone go after them like a pack of dogs or a herd of pigs. And if we can learn from their example, I think maybe, not always, but maybe the dogs and the pigs will leave us alone. The Apostle Paul modeled this well. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, Paul was talking about sinners. He was talking about people who are sinful people and how he was instructing Timothy to make sure that he ministers to people who are sinners. Listen to what he says. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost what? The foremost sinner. Jesus Christ must display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. Paul wanted to be an example to the culture, so he identified himself as a sinner. But I want to hasten just to say, I'm just going to mention this. I want to add that our invitation not only is just to serve and invite people into our fellowship, our adventure, our invitation is follow Jesus Christ. He will change you. Listen to what Titus chapter 2, verses 1 to 12 says. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all. That's our invitation. But then what happens when they come into the church? Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. Words that describe harmful sins. And to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. Words that describe change in this present age. You see, that's the message. Come and join a fellowship of sinners, and then come, let's learn together how to change. Let's learn how to get free from addictions. Let's learn how to love people better. Let's learn how to be a better parent. Let's learn how to be a better husband. Let's change together. What a different message then I have the gospel and you don't. Well, Eric Bargerhuff, our scholar that I read this wonderful article on, concludes like this. Ultimately, only one thing can break the sin of being judgmental: humility. Paul tells us in Philippians, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. Make sure God stays on the throne. Make sure that you pursue your own maturity rather than snooping for evidence of someone else's immaturity. And overcome evil by doing good and by serving those who need Jesus. For only when humility rises like the sun in your heart will the darkness of being judgmental flee. Father, I pray that you would help us to guard our own hearts. I'm reminded of David who writes, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my ways. And see if there is any sinful way in me. And then lead me in the way of everlasting." God, free us from any spirit of being judgmental. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.